Welcome to episode
19
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Tuesday,
the
18th
of
March,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Take two on episode 19 of WoW Geekly. I'm Asheo, and with me is El Jeppy. Morning, sir.
Hola.
Hola.
I keep getting to that because I have yet to decide whether I want to try and expunge the L.
You do, but it keeps popping up. So I think you're stuck with it.
I can't get the Twitter. I can't get the Twitter, mate.
Nah. You're stuck with it. People wouldn't know where you went.
I might go Jeppy WoW, but then again, my interest in WoW is waning. So.
Oh, well, this is a WoW podcast, so that's it for this week.
See ya.
See you all next week, episode 20.
Oh, no.
Sorry,
what's that?
Gills of Ipanema or something. I don't know what the hell you got there.
Don't know what's going on.
No one knows what's going on, except that we are at the 19. The 19.
You've got to do that.
Well, I have to do that. I'm sorry, I can't say 19 without that.
The trouble is, we're of an age where that goes, and there's always like, well, he's got a stutter.
That's right. Was that stutter rap? Did they like parody that song title? Because they went, what was the lyrics in that? From the age of 13.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, but that was a song from the 80s. I'm not sure if it was a hit in the States, 19.
It certainly was a hit here.
It's a big hit here. You think it would have been, because it was all about their war. War where they sent all those young lads off to taste some orange stuff. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 19. I haven't got much on 19, to be honest.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was going to make it super short and just say the only thing about 19... I'll keep this super short. Okay. But it's a prime, obviously. Everybody, pretty sure by now, everybody knows what primes are. And that's
it. There was a group of people that heard you say, I'm going to keep it super short. Okay. And they were like, oh, okay, let's move on. But then you were like,
got to worry that one.
Well, I've got a bit more.
Relatively short compared to other numbers. All I'm going to give you is this one. 19 is the largest prime where, in Roman numerals, it's a palindrome. There you go. That's all you get.
Maybe we're all going to have to write them down now. We're going to write them down.
X, one, X, backwards, X. Oh, look at that. There you go.
Oh, yeah, one X, X, I. Is it? No. Yeah.
X1X.
X1X.
X1X. Backwards.
Oh, it's 10 and then X1X. The 1 and the 9. Yeah. 1 and the 10 and
those crazy Romans. What were they thinking?
What? I don't understand why they would. You'd have to take one off. Why they didn't have a 9, a number, a letter for 9. Why didn't it seem to make sense? Because up until that point,
we'll add stuff.
V-I-I-I.
Yeah, we'll add stuff until, okay, and actually can't count more than 3, so after that we'll take stuff away. Okay.
I think that was the stone people, the masons. They were like, 4? 4? You're having a laugh in chat. I get paid by the word. I get paid by the knock, mate.
Bloody chisels.
Yeah, right.
Blunt as.
That's why. This is costing me chisels, son. You have to come up with a better idea.
Let's hope it wasn't that.
Well, I can't think it probably was. I think it was Union Action.
Yeah.
Bloody, anyway, so 19. Okay, cool. Episode 19, almost heading into the 20. Uh-huh. We mustn't we keep doing this. We keep thinking to ourselves, oh, well, you know, it's like counting our eggs before they're hatched. Right? Mm. We may never make it to 20, to be honest. But 19's good anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You got anything about 19? Or we just move straight into the news?
I don't really, because it's one of those numbers. It's like 18, yay, party! 21, yay, party! 19, 20.
Well, 20 is your... Oh, we'll talk about that next week, won't we?
Yeah.
Oh, Paul Johnson.
Don't give out the good stuff now, mate.
That's it.
Back.
I know.
XX.
So, we should have held off, it turns out, one more day for some more exciting news in the recording for last week, shouldn't we?
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, Hursteed, mate. Hearthstone went low. We all went around like mad things, desperately playing Hearthstone until we won 3 games and then we never played again.
Well, see, this is because initially, and I agreed with your tweet, which was like genius marketing or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I thought, was it though? Because the vast majority of people hated it, hated the whole experience of having, being, feeling that they had to be forced because they wanted this pretty pony. And then they were like, meh. A few, actually, that's
well,
true.
I don't know.
A few people in my feed were like, oh, I didn't know it was this interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of stick to it.
I mean, that's what they're aiming for, right? It's to drive people to actually give it a crack and hope that a whole bunch of people are going, oh, this is actually a good game.
They should have made it much harder. They should have made it so that you could not have done it without buying cards.
Yeah.
Only cost me £50.
Yeah, look at that. Could have bought it on the store for 15.
Yeah, that'll be out next week. They were saying, "Where's that red pony?" Yeah, you know, where's the red one? I'll tell you where the red one is, mate. Making its way to your store.
So, how long did it take you to get it?
It took me. I tell you what. This is how I did it. I went, Alexander, and he came pattering downstairs, and I went, "Want pony?" And he went, "Dad, you're going to have to make a bit more sense." I went, "What?
Pony
what
up.
Pony?
Pony
Hearthstone.
Up.
You go play Hearthstone, me get pony." And then about 20 minutes later, he comes down and goes, "Your pony's in your post." Hey, yay!
Very good.
Actually, I kept saying to him, he wandered off into the kitchen to get some breakfast. Said, "No. Pony.
Mm.
Pony."
Is it my imagination, or did they change it? Because I could have sworn that when they first brought out the Battle.net client, that you couldn't play multiple games at once. Or is that my imagination playing tricks on me?
I mean, having the Battle.net in WoW and then in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Or whatever. All I remember, because I didn't try it, but all I remember is having, not being able to play 2 WoWs.
Right. Maybe that was what I was remembering. Because you can.
It does do it.
I was in WoW and I fired up Hearthstone. Or maybe it was on a different. Maybe that's what it is—a different computer. If you're playing WoW on one computer, you can't log into the Battle.net client and play Hearthstone on another computer.
Yeah, you can't have the same. You can't have the same Battle.net on running twice, basically on the IP.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, especially for people that have got multiple Battle.net accounts on one Battle.net.
Yeah,
surely
that's super pain in the ass.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So, how long did it take you to get your?
Well, it took me a while because I hadn't played for a while, and I had to go through and do the tutorial again and get through that whole spiel before I could go into play mode and actually play somebody.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had to do that.
Yeah. Smashed my first game, smashed him, then lost them about 5, 6, 7 games in a row. And I'm like, of course, I'm instantly thinking, I can play Friends. I'm asking him in guild chat.
Everybody thought that, didn't they? Like,
can you do this in Friends mode? Nah, doesn't count if you play a friend. I tried it anyway. Tried with Leader and let her win 3 games, and didn't work.
See, tried to cheat.
Tried to cheat.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
They'd already won that off.
So. Yeah. But eventually won my second and third games. One was it was an interesting. I can't remember what the cards are, but I wasn't in a good state. And I'm like, oh god, I'm going to lose another one here. And I played the play two cards card, got a nice roll sequence. I got, I could actually put three or four cards together and went bam, 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 and he was dead in like two shots. So,
yeah.
It's nice when that happens.
That's in a game where RNG certainly can play quite a part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is, I suppose.
I'm sure the experts have got ways to, put up defenses against a lot of that, but for us noobs, I enjoyed it. I've actually played some more since then. Went back and unlocked all the classes and got all my decks unlocked so I could play all the other classes.
Oh no.
Hmm.
So it worked on you then?
Oh yeah. Well, to an extent. I mean, it's not like I've gone out and spent hundreds of bucks on decks or tried arena mode or anything. Nothing crazy. Settle down.
So there were two modes. There was ranked and play, was it?
Well, it's in play mode, and you can either go casual or ranked, I think they're called.
And they were saying on the Twitter feeds, they were saying ranked was easier.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
I just went casual.
Because with ranked, you're being put up against other noobs. Something like that, anyway.
Oh, okay.
There was some reason why.
Whereas casual is just random,
and you might end up with anybody.
Come up against some expert. Good. Yes, fair enough.
There was a mixture of elation and frustration. I did see some people basically in and out, boom, boom. Mm. Got misted, missed about. I saw other people taking hours upon hours.
Yeah.
Including, much to my joy, Medros. Still, that's just me. But, people going, and initially when I read it, I thought it was you had to win three games in a row.
Ooh, that would be hurtful.
Because especially you're on your third game, boom, and then some unlucky thing happens.
Yeah. You've got them down to 1 point, and then bam, 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 you're dead.
It'd be interesting to see, because, again, it's one of these things where we judge it upon a very small subsection of the community. It'd be interesting to see how many people did hook on to the game and go ahead and perhaps go further with purchasing cards and getting well into it.
Give it a crack.
Because I think a few people will look at that and go, well, I never played the actual physical card game.
Right.
What? It's not something that...
Lost my mind. Plenty of people that played like Magic the Gathering and stuff like that would be fully into it.
But those people are pre-sold. They're not,
sure.
They're not thinking yes or no.
But I'm sure there was some percentage of people still that... hadn't really taken much notice about what Hearthstone actually was, and this essentially forced them to go and investigate it. And
definitely millions of people.
Indeed.
So it worked out well. And what do you think of the your blue flying steed?
It's all right. Mount it up.
It's all right.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Doesn't.
Don't know. I'd have paid $25.
It's not getting a slot on my action bars, but. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's the ultimate test, isn't it? Of your Mount Idol.
Mm-hmm.
No slot in the action.
Doesn't get a slot. Nah, sorry, Sunshine.
It was all right, wasn't it? It was like, they didn't half-ass it. It was a good mount, I thought.
Yeah. Wasn't bad at all. But I think I'll play more Hearthstone once it comes out on the iPad.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And supposedly it's being shown at a particular, I can't remember which convention, but they're going to have it on the iPad at this particular convention, and, which is all to the good, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you're right. The difference between people who will sit at a computer and play that type of game and those that will sit on the bus or sit in their bed or sit in the chair.
Sit at the back, getting some rays.
And that might be where the red steed comes in, because there was some talk about, they showed the picture of the blue and the red one, and we thought, well, that obviously there's an alliance and there's a horde. But everybody got the blue one, regardless of faction. So there's a red one out there, a different colour.
It'll sneak along.
Designers must be like, oh, let's just make a different colour.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. That's a whole new mount, that is.
Yellow one? Come on.
So maybe that'll be linked to that, three games on the iPad or something, I don't know.
Mm.
Something along those lines.
So, speaking of flying steeds, how do we put this gently?
Let me take a sip of tea.
Calm
me nerves.
I've got to say, I saw... The first I saw of this was actually a good news tweet, which was that all mounts can be ground mounts in Warlords. Which I went, yay, because there's a raft of mounts that can only be flying mounts. And you know, when you're stuck on the ground, you can't use them. So that was kind of good news. But it was tempered a bit.
That was the sandwich. They're making a. Well, you know, what do they call it?
What was the flip side of that particular sandwich there, mate?
So, the creative director over Blizzard is called Alex Afrasabi. Anybody who's run old content dungeons, and I can't remember exactly which one it was, would have come across him because there's a special trinket you can get from him, Afrasabi. That name rings a bell to you. It's something to do with tobacco.
Yeah, couldn't tell you where it is.
Yeah, it's in one of those creepy ones.
Oh, that narrows it down.
But anyway, we don't know. We're not here. We're not here to give you information.
Nah.
Go find that yourself. Go Google that. So he's the creative director. He goes along to Game Planet, and there's a video YouTube interview which I'll include in the show notes, where he's talking about Warlords generally and the creative side of things.
Yep.
And at one stage he starts off and he reiterates what we all know and what we've all sort of come to accept, that there'll be no flying when it ships, because that's always the case with every expansion. Apart from Cataclysm, which didn't really make sense because it was in the middle of the world. So, and they'd already given us flying in the old world, so it just seemed a bit mean to take it away for those particular zones. So that, you know, we understand that. And we were a little bit ticked off as a community about the fact that they said, well, that's mean you're going to get it at 100. You're going to probably have to wait for a subsequent patch, probably as late as 6.1 or further along.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's coming.
I can buy that. We'll wait. Yeah.
It's fine. But his suggestion was that, in not so many words, there's a good... he didn't actually say it about Warlord specifically. He said... he could foresee an expansion that had no flying in the zone that was created.
What?
So, and then this was added to by Mumper, Corey Stockton, by saying that they'd already said it was not coming out with shipping. They'd already said it would be a subsequent patch. But what we're going to do is we're just going to wait and see.
See if anybody wants it. Surely, surely by the time you get to 100 and you haven't flown yet, then you go, nah, it's okay. Don't want it. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's just such a weird thing because now there was a sudden splitting of the community, as you can imagine, a rending, a parting of the ways, as it were.
I don't think I've seen any topic split the community as divisive as this particular topic has.
Yeah, because the weird thing is, last week we said, oh, they've introduced all these other things so that we'll forget about flying. And lo and behold, they think they don't learn. Lo and behold, they come and raise it all up again. So, yes, yeah, so the consequence of that interview and also follow-up emails from various devs was there's a potential, although nobody said definitely. This is the thing with the community. Nobody's actually come out and said, from a high position, from a position of Blizzard glory, we will not be having flying Warlords in New Draenor.
Mm.
Nobody said that. Yeah. They just kind of suggested that maybe this was necessary.
And you're seeing some pretty awesome conspiracy theories. You know, it was like, oh, they've run out of time and they don't have time to draw the roofs. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing, of course, is that, well, it's certainly a weird conspiracy theory, but also there's potential for that, you know. I'm going to buy into that a little bit because the amount of design time. Now, first of all, I assumed, and I may be incorrect, that their new way of designing landscapes takes flying into account regardless.
I would have thought, I mean, surely they updated an engine to support it, right? It's not like they go, here's a building, you know, and they've got to specifically code that it's got a roof that you can land on or not. I mean, surely it's just part of the engine. Then there's not like for every building you draw, you have to make sure you draw a roof on it.
Yeah, I think the CATA, when all the CATA changes were made to allow flying in Old World, that must have been an engine change to make it easier. You assume that. However, there may well be other things designed over, you know, stuff that requires more design work to put in flying than we are aware of. I don't know. I have no idea how Blizzard do these things.
Sure.
So it may well be a time issue, but the way they're playing it, and the argument that you're getting from the other side of the community, because I have to say I'm on the side of flying, maybe not at 100, but definitely within 6.1, I'm on that side, and I've made no bones about it. I definitely want to be able to fly over Draenor at some stage on my own mount.
I'm well and truly on that side of the fence.
Yeah. But the argument is well, you know, flying it shrinks the world. It doesn't make it. You don't feel as social because everybody's up in the air and you can't see them. You don't see them all running around on the ground. And from a creative director's point of view, I can understand that. I can understand it. Alex Afrasabi, who I desperately want to call Afrasani, but Afrasabi. I can definitely see that from a creative director's point of view. If you create gorgeous landscape and fantastic scenery, and then somebody goes on a mountain and just flies over the top of it all at 310%. You might feel a little bit hard done by it, but that's what 90 to 100's for. That's why exactly. It accepts 90 to 100. No problem. We want to be on the ground for that.
Yep.
We're glad that you're keeping us on the ground for that because we want to see everything that you've designed on the bottom layer. Fair enough. And then people jump on the bandwagon. Flying should never have been in WoW. It was a huge mistake. Burning Crusade crippled the game by allowing flying. And this, back in my day, when I started in vanilla, there was no flying.
And it was the most wanted thing, and it was the best thing that they ever did in Burning Crusade. It was the desire to fly in vanilla was just universal. And,
exactly.
And the change that it made in Burning Crusade was awesome. It was just magnificent. And I've got to, I do have to say, and I did read a forum post where somebody explained this quite well, but I've got to say that I think they did a better job of making flying more integral part of the game in Burning Crusade than they've done in any expansion since.
Yeah.
The Orgrillar dailies was the prime example where, you know, basically you had to do flying to do the dailies. You know, you're doing bomb dropping and you're doing things where flying is an integral part of it, as opposed to just you're flying to get, you know, point A to point B faster and without aggroing stuff.
Yeah, and you found that yourself because you've just done that experiment.
Exactly.
Leveled in Outland without flying.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe they looked at that and went, hey, look, here's this dude. He's just completed all of Outland. No flying. Let's just leave it that way.
Actually, you didn't though, did you?
I couldn't complete it, no. But I did 99.9% of it on the ground.
You did the vast majority of it. And it was only because they'd taken out quests that you couldn't actually complete
it. But it did... one thing that... I've been thinking about, not having looked at any artwork or much artwork or anything from Warlords that they've released. Outlands is basically islands of shattered stuff just hanging there in space. I mean, there's no ocean between Hellfire Peninsula and Netherstorm. It's just this void. And I understand that, you know, it's a shattered planet, but, you know, what's that going to look like on Draenor? Is it still a void, or is it an ocean, or is it a planet? No more planet
shattered. Nothing shattered.
And is that just the way that the planet is?
No, nothing shattered. The Burning Legion shattered it. So it will be a planet. There'll be water and all sorts. There'll be oceans.
Well, so what's the big void between, you head north from Hellfire Peninsula and you're just flying over a void to get to Netherstorm? What's going to be there? Is that going to be an ocean?
They'll be connected. I don't think there'll be anything separating. I think they'll just be connected.
No, okay.
Somebody smashed a twisted nerve or something for that lot.
Right.
There was damage that you're seeing as you're flying.
Someone let me know, because I'm losing sleep over that. Write in. Send me some pictures.
Because actually, what's weird about that is you can't, if you ever go on a taxi from one place to another, you can't actually go over that. I don't know if you've noticed. It goes round.
Yeah, all the flight points go around, yeah.
And I'm not sure what that was all about, but anyway, you can't fly over it. And it's a bit scary for a while because you think, I'm not going to get there. What's going on? I don't understand. I'm sort of just heading into a distance, all purple. What's going on? Yeah. It definitely caused some argument. And the thing that annoyed me the most, the thing that really ticks me off sometimes is people saying, well, it's just convenience. Just convenience, you know. Nah. These are the things they just added to make the game easier, you'll be made soft by flying because you don't have to fight your way everywhere you have to go. You shouldn't have to. No, that's why I can't fly.
Can you imagine mining and herbaling?
Idiots. Now, they have said, they've said, well, okay, so let's say Blizzard come along and they create a expansion world which is perfect for ground travel. There's proper roads. And, of course, there will be, because obviously this is not a shattered area. It's not like trying to fly over. Currently, if you try and move around an outland, you're fighting all the time.
Mm.
All the time, you're constantly running into crap, boars and crap. And it is a pain in the ass to go anywhere without flying. Now, if they create a world which doesn't require...
If
they do something incredibly creative... If they do something incredibly creative, where you go, actually flying would make this not so creative. Then I say, yay, great, okay. I hold my hands up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I yelled at people on Twitter. But if they're deciding that now?
Mm.
This is what scares me as well. That they could make those changes now?
At this point, yeah.
It doesn't seem that's worrying. It just seems like, yeah. So anyway, it was all a big, big hoo-ha. And it's still running and running and flying.
Still a red-hot hoo-ha.
Yeah. Mm. And I just want Blizzard to just somebody to come out and go, listen, calm down. It will be flying. we're just waiting to see when. We just want to see how it fits into the cycle. If someone just says there will be flying, I'll wait and see. Because
But why would they, mate? Because it's generating news and... any news is good
generating
news.
Bile that's what it's generating and I got a bit into a tizzy on Twitter. I mean, I'm a relatively polite person and I didn't get to the stage where I was unfollowing people or DMing them death threats like I understand some people may have been doing. But what I have to say this, and I'll just say this one thing, if you're of the opinion that the world is shrinking and that you don't like flying, don't fly.
There you go. So
don't fly. Don't even buy it.
Yeah.
Nobody's forcing you to do that. There's no extra riding skill that comes with buying flying. It's not like you can ride any faster because you've got flying. Don't buy it. Fair enough. You want to go on the ground everywhere, go on the ground everywhere. You want to do a slash walk and go over it, that's fine.
Yes.
But it's a lot easier for you to say, I'm going to go hardcore and I'm not going to fly, than it is for me to... be able to fly when they don't bloody put it into Warlords. So
I'm right with you, 100%.
Just don't do it. And I use you as an example, my friend, because when you decide to set yourself a challenge, you turn a few bits off. You could have easily gone in at 60 and got the flying on the outland, but you said to yourself, no, I want this to be a bit more of a challenge. See? Fair enough. You know, let you make your decisions and let us make our decisions.
That's right.
Don't take the ability to make the decision away. That's just, and I hate to use this word, but it's a bit selfish. Sorry. Anyway, and also, let me just, I'm going to finish. This is the last thing I'm going to say about flight. If you look at the split, there's a split between those who definitely want flying and are very vehement about having flying.
Yep.
And then there's another chunk of people who don't care one way or the other. And then there's a very few, a definite minority who say, who definitely don't want
flying. Should not be in the game.
So.
And to those crazy people.
Yeah. But they're a minority, definitely. The majority of people don't care one way or the other. And I think the majority of those people should be put in the, yes, we'll have flying stage. Because they don't care one way or the other. They're apathetic about the whole thing.
Well, I think that's because they haven't thought about it.
I think it is well. I think they, and sometimes I look at the arguments that the people are having, and they haven't worked out, they're not saying flying will be in at 6.1, which we've all fought that fight, and we've gone with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, normally I've said to people,
so they've taken away. Taken away, have group will travel. Now they're going to take away flying. The next expansion, you're not going to be able to ride until 60.
Yeah, I mean, the suggestion has been made.
They're just stepping stuff back, mate. We'll end up back where we started. It's all big loop.
Yeah, but there is a design philosophy which seems to suggest that they want to go back to that savage type of world where things were much harder. And this may be all part of that. But anyway,
well, it's savage. It's savage enough. I can't fly until I'm 100. It's savage enough. And I mean, they've already, you know, when you're 100 and you're out in the world and you're doing stuff, you know, a lot of the time it's going to be, a lot of the arguments come up around farming, you know, and herbs and stuff. And they've already addressed a lot of that because not by mistake, mobs kind of hang around those nodes, and you know, you can't just drop out of the sky and pick one up usually without aggroing something and having to kill it. But that's a lot different to having to fight your way to it from the road and kill 8 things before you can get to it. And in the meantime, someone else rides past you whilst you've aggroed them and mines the node up from under your nose. Yeah. We don't want to go back to that.
Can't do that while moving. Remember when they did that?
No.
Because people used to be able to sweep in and start banging straight away. And you had to stop, pause, and then do it.
Anyway. And it'll just, the only turn you'll go out and farm on is rogues, because you just sneak through, tap the node, you might aggro, and then vanish back to the road, off you go.
Well, you might as well forget druids.
Yeah, but druids can't vanish.
No, I mean, you might as well forget ever playing one.
Oh, yeah.
What's the point?
If you can't fly in herb,
hopping along the ground.
That's Molson's fault. That's Molson and his get rid of druids out of the game. This is the first step. First step to getting druids out of the game. Take away flying. If you can't do flying and herbalism, then that gets rid of about 80% of people that play druids.
By the way, if all mounts are usable, does that mean the
druid form bird on form. The ground
hopping along,
flap flap?
That'd be fun.
Oh dear,
crazy. But we'll see.
Time will
come out in the wash.
Mm.
But it's certainly one of the few times where my heckles have been up.
Yeah.
And I felt to myself, okay, then this is a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah. I mean, I trust a lot of what the decisions that Blizzard make, but this was a strong no. Please don't do this. Please.
I'm trying to wrap this conversation up, but another thing that annoyed me a lot was people saying, just trust in Blizzard. That's fine. And I do, and I agree with you. I think Blizzard mostly follow the right paths, but they're guided by the community. And this idea that somehow you should just keep quiet and see what Blizzard do. No, that's not the point. They want feedback.
It's otherwise, a community they wouldn't that lay out these feedback. Problems. Yeah.
Exactly. So don't say to me, oh, don't wrestle them. No. Or don't tell me in a tweet all the people on the forum are just loudmouths and aren't representative of the community. Because that's not true. There's certainly a lot of toxicity in there, and people may not necessarily know how to communicate at a good level or constructive level.
But a lot of people
still have genuine concern.
Yeah. All right.
Jesus.
We're done on that. We're going to take a 10-minute break. Another we'll be back time. After the news. That's not how it works, is it? I forget.
No. Somebody else should do the news. Yeah. Let's get somebody else in.
Straight off the ticker tape. Heroes of the Storm, mate. What's this in the show notes? Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Are you in the alpha?
I don't know how to capitalize it properly. Do you think it's H, small o, big T, S? Because that's a the.
Hmm. I don't see why the that would be capital.
No, but then, well, I see but then all the time.
Little H, little O, little T, big S doesn't look right.
No.
I know. It's rough.
It is. It's bad for us grammarians or wordarians or whatever you call it. I'm not in the technical alpha, no.
No. Me either, mate. Me either.
I understand they're slowly expanding the technical alpha, but they found more friends and family.
Got any more friends?
But, no.
Well, the first thing I saw was that, and I saw this, I'm pretty sure I saw this in an official tweet or forum post or something, that the alpha was being restricted to North America only.
Yes.
And then the very next tweet was Olivia Gray saying, hey, this is a great game. And I'm like, hang on a minute, you're British.
It's, yeah, no. See, this is the. I have this problem as well. I play all on American servers now. I've got no EU accounts. Everything.
Ah, so you, no, but it was like, I'm sorry, you're Canadian. You can't play.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was meant you actually live in North America, not restricted to North American accounts.
I don't know. I know that I had a problem when Hearthstone first came out, although. I put it onto an American, as far as I was concerned, an American realm or American realm list or American, whatever you call it, region, because my thing says location UK.
Right.
Playing for a while.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Olivia Grace may get a little bit of a shifty, you know what I mean? She might get a little bit of extra help.
Bit of favoritism. What? Because of her accent. But you've got the same accent. Your accent's exactly, you two sound exactly like, in fact, I think you're the same person.
We've never been seen in the same room together. This is true.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. But yeah, I think you're right. In as much as at least the initial technical alpha was limited to those in the United States, whether physically or virtually.
Mm-hmm. So my take on it is very quick, and that is purely that I've either quite deliberately or by mistake. Know very little about the game. Didn't watch any of it from BlizzCon. And I'm trying to keep it that way because if I am really into it and want to play it, I don't have time for it at the moment anyway. So it's probably best that I don't look into it and try and get into the beta or alpha or anything. So don't go and tell me that it's awesome and what all the details are. All right?
But you've never actually played any other MOBAs?
No, I haven't, no.
Any of these types of games? No, me neither, really. I mean, I had a great go at League of Legends because it was free. And I had a little bit of a go at Dota way back. But for me, it was just a wee bit too fast and a bit too hectic. So I didn't really think of it. I didn't buy in to the characters.
Right.
No, I didn't. Whereas this one, and I've seen quite a few HOTS cast, have been doing some streams, as have other people. And because it's characters you recognize from the Blizzard world, you're kind of like, oh, that's cool. Look at that. It's the Lich King fighting Diablo or Kerrigan or any of the other characters, StarCraft or Diablo or World of Warcraft or even older games. So you kind of then buy into the characters and you want to see what they can do and what their skills are. So I can certainly see it being very appealing to those that are already bought into the Blizzard universe, the fact that there's this whole mix of characters from all the different games.
Yep.
And it does seem a good representation of that type of game.
That's clever.
So, and they haven't gone to the point where they said, let's make it completely different. There's people saying, oh, it's just like Dota, or it's just like League of Legends. Of course it is. Because that's the type of game it is. They're not going to suddenly make huge changes to the way it plays because they want to get that audience. They want to get the Dotas and the League of Legends. Because also another thing that people probably don't know is Dota is a community based on a World of Warcraft RTS.
I do remember a kerfuffle about that.
A kerfuffle with Steam, because those group of people went along to Steam and now they want to make it a commercial product as opposed to a relatively free, easy to get into game.
Yep.
And Blizzard were like, oh, yeah, hang on a second. Hang on a second. But anyway, that's all by the way, because obviously they've gone and put their money on their own version, as it were. But, is it going to take time away from games which I currently play? No, probably not. Can't see it. I mean, I could see having a game with friends. And also there's this other thing that's quite weird. I saw a few tweets of people saying, ooh, it's quite toxic. Quite a few. Because one thing I didn't like about League of Legends and is universally accepted, League of Legends is an absolute bear pit of nastiness.
Okay.
And, you know, and forget about going in there as a new player and say, hey guys, I'm new. Can you help me out? Because they'll just rip you a new one. And it really does have, it's almost like the, first person shooter type mentality.
Right.
Where, it's just vicious and nasty. And you would think that in a technical alpha, which included only those people who had been invited by Blizzard, there'd be none of that. Blizzard would go, oh, are you at? Get at. But there seems to have been some. I'm not sure the details, obviously I wasn't there, but there seemed to be a little bit of...
I did hear the same.
It makes you wonder who it was. I imagine Scott Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he can't control himself. Yeah. He can't control himself. Mm. You know? Once he gets the old red storm in his eyes, he's like, he's gone, you know? So, anyway. Who knows? We might get invited along. We might not. And if we do, we'll take a punt and see then. You obviously don't have the time, so I might have to be the person who does that. But this is interesting. What I find interesting about all of this is... there's loads of stuff. There's the Diablo's about to hit, the new Diablo Reaper of Souls. There's HOTS. There's Hearthstone, again, coming out of beta, being available, obviously pulling a load of wealth
by the Hearthstone. It's live.
And it's like...
it's going to come out on the iPad.
Why should we, maybe this will tide people over. WoW players are definitely being pulled into these things. The fact that if you go and buy... the Reaper of Souls collector's edition, you get a lovely pet in WoW.
Yeah.
The fact that Hearthstone is just the, we're not sure what HOTS will give us at some stage. Maybe that will give us something as well in WoW.
That's where the red one comes in.
Might well be. And the whole BattleNet thing, we're going to talk about, mentioned this briefly at the beginning, they're definitely going down the route of not having you step outside of BattleNet to launch your games. And that, in fact, they've said that quite clearly. At the moment, WoW, I believe, is the only game you can start from its executable without going via BattleNet. I think you definitely have to be in there for Diablo. I imagine Heart of the Storm, definitely. And I'm not sure about...
I've never even tried.
I think Hearthstone as well. I think all of them you need to be in. You need to start from BattleNet. There's no other way of doing it. And they've definitely suggested that is going to be the case with WoW very soon. That they want to keep it all within this container. In fact, there's a whole on MMO Champion, there's a little bit of a to and fro between one of the blues and a disgruntled player about WoW in particular, saying that, because at the moment you can't update outside of the BattleNet, can you? Your BattleNet will start up.
Haven't tried. I've used the BattleNet client and it patches stuff and it just does it and it's all good.
Because of using multiple computers and multiple accounts on one BattleNet, I've avoided doing that. I've avoided even installing it.
No.
But it won't let you do that. If there's an update, you have to install BattleNet. BattleNet is whatever we used to have, the updater.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the updater now. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody here says, I haven't got a huge amount of context, but it says, the fact that you think I need my desktop cleaned up or I can't keep it organized is pretty damned infuriating and condescending, quite frankly. Because they've said, why bother having WoW client and the D3 client and all the other clients floating around your desktop? You can all have it in one little... He said, how dare you? How dare you? But they're definitely going away.
I mean, that just sounds like a bad marketing suggestion is the reason for doing it. It's got nothing to do with cleaning up your desktop clutter.
No.
Completely irrelevant. It's a central, I mean, it makes sense to have a central launching place. It makes sense for them to do all their authentication in one place. It makes sense for them to have a single app that updates all of the games rather than doing it all separately. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's also
a social platform as well.
Yeah.
Or Battle.net. I mean, you can see in game.
Yeah.
You connect to Battle.net so that you can talk to anybody in any game.
That's it. That, so. Silly buggers.
Yeah, but they are going to have to sort that. I mean, I know that we represent a relative minority, probably a very small minority of people that have multiple accounts on the same Battle.net for WoW. But, you know, they still need to address it, I guess. Also, I find...
I mean, maybe they have. I mean, have you even tried recently?
Oh, no, I have. I've tried.
Yeah, okay.
And I tell you what caused it as well is because while Alexander was off playing Hearthstone, there was an update to WoW. So I had to go into the Battle.net and it logged him out.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. So you can't even play the other games, which is even more annoying because if I'd known that, I would have put them on different Battle.nets.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have... And we're not... And Hearthstone's
free, so... Yeah. Why do they care if someone's playing your Hearthstone while you're playing WoW?
You see, I don't think that's fair. I think, fair enough, Blizzard have their terms of services as far as WoW goes, and they only allow... And on one account... See, it's very confusing. So you can't have multiple people playing the same Battle.net or any of your WoW accounts on that Battle.net unless it's a son. Unless it's a child, not a son. Unless it's a child. And only one child as well.
So the terms of service won't even let you put your wife's WoW account on your Battle.net.
No. Right. Not supposed to do that. But when I buy a game like I've bought Reaper of Souls, Diablo 3, knowing full well that I won't be the one playing it. It'll be Alexander who wants to play it. I might have a little dabble with it. But I don't think I should have to buy two copies because, you know, maybe for an hour I play it and maybe for 25 hours he plays it. It's not right. That isn't, you know, and I know we are beholden to Blizzard and their terms of service, but those things are a bit shonky to say the very least.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
If I buy, you know, I bought the StarCraft expansion, I have no intention of playing StarCraft for any length of time.
Yeah.
I certainly want to be able to have it played by other people in the household.
Yeah, you go go to shops and buy a game. It's not like you buy a game for you. You buy a game to stick on your home computer for people in your home to play.
Yeah. So if Battle.net is going to force you to not do that, that would be a little bit iffy. And I think the Blizzard should make that clear. And if they do make it clear, they should allow you to somehow separate them. And maybe, you know, if they want to stick to that paradigm, then let me just separate those off.
Agreed. I'm sure there's probably tons of petitions for said issue on the forums that you could sign, that.
Oh, yeah.
Dick said.
We want it back.
Yeah. Or we could just send them this episode and go, listen to this, make sure you fix what we complain about, all right?
Yeah. We represent Australia and the UK.
That's it.
Two of your biggest English-speaking markets outside of the United States. Come on.
Massive continents.
Incontinents, you say? No, continents. So, what else? What else do we have?
That's it, mate. We're done. We're out of here. Oh, hang on a minute. Did you do anything this week? No?
Well,
all
let's
right.
Say, let's just yell out that we were on our maintenance, my friend.
That's it. We were.
That's not to be sniffed at.
I was going to mention at the end, but this is a good a place as any.
Oh, this isn't the end. Yeah, we were on rail maintenance, and it's out today, which you obviously think was yesterday or the day before.
So it was a couple of days ago now, as you'd know, and you've probably listened to it already, but if you haven't, go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I was on Grand Old Podcast.
Look at you.
I know.
Triple podcasting in a week.
And I was on Heroically Random as well, which is like a video podcast with Rilla Doon and Fimlis.
Well, look at
and it would have been Nevik. It would have been Nevik, but he was late. Or he was running late or something, so he wasn't late. Yeah, been all over the place, mate.
You're the popular one this week, eh?
Every week, my friend.
What I guess this is all leading up to you saying, actually, I haven't played it all this week. I haven't had time.
Well, I haven't played anywhere near as much as I played last week. But I have been doing some sort of housekeeping. You hate this, don't you? You're like, oh God, it takes weeks.
Here we go.
Because what I'd done several weeks ago is as the Scroll of Resurrection was ending, I suddenly went mental and went, oh, I've got loads of these potential Scroll of Resurrection, I better send them out. And we remember from that episode that it was a flurry and it was running out of time and it was all a bit of a mess. And then I completely forgot about them. And I forgot that I had 30 days to claim them. And so 28 days in, I suddenly go, oops.
Ooh.
I better go and claim those. And I did. And it was nowhere near as fantastic as I thought it would be. Because not only was I thinking, well, would I ever need this 80 anywhere else? So they're basically going to go, after the 7 days runs out, they'll just go into the freezer again.
Am I ever going to play this tune again?
Exactly. No way. That's what I was singing.
Off.
So, and also, and I can't just go random name. Oh, yeah, go customize random what they look like. I don't care.
I did see a tweet about the random name generator.
Yeah, it sucks, I tell you. Absolutely sucks. Don't give me 12 letter names that are completely unpronounceable.
Yeah, and don't give me ones that are already gone on the realm that I'm on.
Don't do that. That's awful. Yeah. That's happened a few times, actually. I was like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, it's gone. Yeah. Don't put it in there then.
Don't tell me.
Scrabble letters, just throwing them in the air. I got a few sort of suggestions from the random thing and then changed a few letters and they worked out quite well. But what I've done now is I've created 10 new level 80s. Spread across two battle nets. They've all got flying. They've got good fast flying, 270 flying. They've got bags. They've got a bit of cash. They've got some nice armor. Meh. Now what? Also, what I did is because I spent so much time trying to get good names, I took good names on the server that I might want those names on. So now I have to think to myself, do I want to delete them? Because that's a good name. I like that name. Or do I want, and then I thought to myself, and I tweeted about this as well, we had this idea for an experiment last week where we wanted to see if you could use the RAF on a boosted 90.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly did not want to boost anything unless I got to level 60 because I want the professions. If I'm going to boost it, I'm going to use it to get a chunk of professions as well.
That's it.
Thought, well, what happens if I just transfer this 80 over? And then boost that to 90. But I thought, well, then I'll only have, at the very most, 5 levels to give. Actually, 2.5 levels to give because it goes up to 85. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah. I toyed with several ideas, all of them incredibly expensive.
Yes, <it's> like, you didn't want to pay to boost, but you're going to pay to transfer it first and then boost? What?
No.
In that bag.
If they did a sudden sale on transfers, I might think about it, but so expensive. So expensive. So I'm back to the idea of going over to Airy Peak on the RAF account and leveling up a couple of hunters to 60 and then seeing if I get the other, what would that be, up to 90, that's 30 levels, over 15 levels to give as well as the original 30 levels. We'll see how that goes. But I'm not going to be boosting anything until 60. That would be crazy.
Mm. I still don't know what I'm going to boost.
No.
Still haven't decided.
Until this whole flying issue's worked out.
Oh, yeah. There you go. What do I want a boost that's going to be stuck on the ground?
Exactly. Because I don't want a character which is not able to fight its way through everything.
If I can't fly, then I'm going to boost a rogue, obviously.
Yeah, it's all going to be rogues. And people are saying, oh, you don't see enough people in the world. Well, you don't see rogues either. Because they'll all be going...
Yeah. You'll see me after I sap you and I run past you to pick the herb.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm also seriously tempted to use at least a week or 2 weeks of this Wrath on a PvP server.
Ah.
Just for the pure...
Ecstasy? Terror?
Terror.
Frustration? Yeah.
The terror and the frustration is what we all want in the game.
Oh, yeah.
I just, somebody was talking about it the other day and saying how, actually it was while I was doing, did I mention I was on the Grand Old Podcast?
You did.
I was talking about how, you know, frustrating it was on a PvP server.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
It's been a while since I've played on a PvP server.
Who is?
It's been a while since I've played on a PvP server.
Oh yeah, it's been ages since I did. I think the last time I was on a PvP server for any of the time was Jubathos. And to be honest, I don't think I ever left Togemon. So I don't know. Not sure how that
just
would have gone.
Just did all your planning.
Yeah.
Just sat in Orgrimmar and planned.
Planned what I was going to do if I ever went out in the world.
That's it.
So, yeah. So, we'll see how that goes.
Oh, there you go.
I think it would certainly bring up some interesting stories. But anyway, that's me. So, what about yourself?
I've been roguing, mate.
Have a cloak?
I've been roguing.
See, the trouble is with you is you get a character and you just buy into it. It's like that warrior all over again.
So, yeah, I did get cloak. Cloak and dagger.
Oh, I can't call you free cloaks because I can't pronounce them. You'd be like, they weren't free, mate. They're blood and sweat.
So you've been as I said last week, I haven't been really loving the rogue. I've been doing it, you know, for the sake of doing it because I have to, because I'm obsessed. And then I hit 60.
Ooh.
And I picked cloak and dagger. And now I love my rogue.
What does cloak and dagger do?
Cloak and dagger is like charge for a rogue. So you hit, what's my starting move? You know, I'd been sneaking up behind something and I'd basically do an ambush. You're behind it and you do a massive amount of damage to it and stick up a couple of combo points. Well, what Cloak and Dagger does is cause you to appear behind the target when you use ambush or cheap shot or garrote or something else.
It shifts your character.
So I just like blink behind the mob, and it's freaking awesome because now I don't have to distract them and make them turn around and have them go and turn and get behind them and hit them. Now I just hit ambush.
And do they are they stunned?
No. This isn't a stun. This is just a.
So they can still turn around.
Oh yeah, they turn around instantly and start whacking on me. But I mean, you know, they're down to about 40% health after one hit.
Oh, so you go cloak and dagger, and then there's an attack. Oh, an ambush.
Yeah. It's cloak and dagger is the reason I picked that is because it's passive. At level 60, it's where you could get shadow step. And shadow step is an active, you know, appear behind the target. But you've got to click on it. It's a 20-second cooldown, and I think it's mainly aimed at PvP. And like the very next thing that I would do after a shadow step is do an ambush anyway. So I went, bugger that, I'll just pick the passive one because that's what I'm going to do anyway. I'm not going to shadow step, more than likely not going to shadow step behind anything in any other situation. So pick the passive, mate. I'm loving it, absolutely loving it. As I said, it's just like... you know, the big difference for me, why I wasn't enjoying the rogue was compared to the warrior, because the warrior would charge in and you're right there and you're in melee range and you're hitting everything.
Positioning. Yeah.
Position. So it's all about, for a rogue, to have to get to level 60, I would have loved it if you could get that at the same level that you get charge on a warrior.
Yeah.
But to have to slog through to, I wonder how many people give up on a rogue before they get to 60, before they can get something like that.
I know a lot of people, that's what I was saying before, a lot of people don't level the rogue because very early on you're like, ugh.
Yeah. And the other thing, I started running dungeons and I was guaranteed bottom of the DPS meter. Not that it's a huge thing, but it's just, you know, EPing. You know, why I'm always on the bottom of the DPS meters, pretty much up against anything. Until I hit level, ooh, I don't know what level it was, in the 60s anyway, and I finally got Fan of Knives, which is an AoE. So up until that point, you know, tanks are basically just rounding stuff up and everything's getting AoE down. And I've got, you know, crap in terms of AoE. They've got Blade Flurry, which does cause your attacks to hit additional nearby mobs, but it also greatly reduces your regeneration of your energy. So, you know, you'll do a revealing strike or some big hit, and you're just sitting there going, okay, my energy will be back soon. I'll be able to do something. Oh, there we go. It's frustrating as hell. So I just don't use it. But, yeah, Fan of Knives, I'm now, you know, I'm still not, you know, top of the DPS, but I'm now more competitive and feel better about the class. So yeah, I've just hit level 70.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, okay. I've been zooming through this rogue.
You were in Outland then, were you?
Yeah, I finished Outland. I'm up in Northrend. I started over on the Howling Fjord site, because I pretty much always start on Borean Tundra. Started in Howling Fjord and I think I'll go over to Borean Tundra. I'm not digging it. So, something about the quest chains and the flow and stuff for Howling Fjord that doesn't appeal to me as much as Borean Tundra. Although what I did find in Howling Fjord that I hadn't come up against yet was there's crows. Remember those crows that are flying around and you got to kill the crows and feed the demons the crow meat?
Yeah.
Well, these were the first mobs that I was killing any amount of since I got Cloak and Dagger. And when you use Cloak and Dagger on something that's up in the air, you appear behind it, up in the air.
Up in the air.
That's awesome. So you fall down to the ground and keep attacking it. So that was really fun. I really enjoy that. Because I wondered, you know, because rogues, you know, all this stuff's flying around, and you've got a bit of range on some of those attacks, but yeah, Cloak and Dagger will take you like 40 yards away, so you can get 40 yards straight up and hit something in the back. It's pretty cool.
It's cool. That would be cool World PvP when they're, you know, if you go down to the blue sky logging place and stuff like that. There's one just a little bit high.
Yeah.
He's just sort of darting down. Not, you know, he's trying to goad you. Bang, you're behind him.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And I tend not to use too many macros nowadays. But what I was finding once I started flying was, you know, I'd see a pack of mobs that I wanted to attack, and I'd drop in on them, and, you know, by the time I dismounted, you go down to the ground, dismount, go into stealth mode, you've already aggroed them. And you can't, unless you actually right click on your mount, if you try to go into stealth mode while you're mounted, it says, you know, you need to dismount first, or you're mounted, or whatever it is. So I actually macroed together, /dismount and /stealth. So now I'm like, you know, 40 yards up in the air, and not aggroing, and do the macro and basically dismount, turn into stealth mode and drop down on the ground. And half the time now, you know, I'm doing ambush while I'm falling and so just like appear behind them. So it's, yeah. You wouldn't want to come up against a rogue in real life, mate. This is this thing that drops out of the sky, goes invisible, then appears behind you and stabs you with a dagger. Nasty little bastards.
Yeah. But it's funny how some classes seem OP from day one, and then slowly they balance out. And then for the rogue, it seems, it's a grind. Okay, it's getting better.
Because, I mean, the warrior felt OP right from the start. I mean, that was the whole reason I rolled a warrior, because every dungeon I was in, you know, warrior was doing like 10 times as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting, if you're classes. If you're leveling a rogue and you're really not into it, just force your way through to 60 and guarantee you'll start enjoying it more.
Okay.
And I put him on hiatus a little bit, built up a little bit of rested. I did burn through the rested, but I'll put him on hiatus for a little bit. And I've started a dual boxing team of a shaman and a bear tank. Another druid, mate. Started another druid. Didn't have a guardian druid, so had to do it. So I've started another druid and I'm dual boxing him with a chamois. And I think I got to about level 7 before I completely screwed up and the XP was all off.
Oh, 7?
I forgot to group up. I logged in and killed something and I'm like, didn't form a group.
I'd have deleted at 7. That's a deletion. Just
delete it, start again there.
At 7, yeah.
I mean, then I formed group and I went, I dropped group and went and killed something on my shaman and come back and it wasn't quite exactly the same amount of XP that I got. And I'm like, And then the druid's dinging first and then I hit 15 and, then it was all over Red Rover because I didn't want my first dungeon on a guardian druid to be dual box healer tank, so that's probably not fair. I should probably give it a crack and see if I've got any idea how to tank on a bear. So I queued up for random, expecting to get Ragefire Chasm, and got dead mines. So I tanked dead mines on my bear, and it actually went okay. Lost aggro a couple of times. I've since reset up tidy plates, which is a great add-on for tanks to keep track of mobs that someone else in the party may have built up a bit too much threat on. Love my tidy plates. So that's helping. So then I thought, I better do exactly the same on my chamois, so to keep the XP pretty much in line. Queued up as DPS, mind you, and I'm halfway through dead mines. Some bastard DPS has dropped out of a dead mines group. Here's me, half an instance. Now what do I do? Yeah, they're completely shagged. I can't run another complete one because then he'll be too far ahead of the druid. And I'm like, don't you people understand?
It's a nightmare.
So, yep, they're completely unaligned at the moment, I'm not seeing the future being too bright for keeping them anywhere in alignment. So, I think my best hope is that I don't drift by more than a couple of levels, so they can at least queue for the same budget.
Couple levels.
What?
Do that. I get miffed when it's like 200 XP. No.
Well, it's a lot more than
levels.
That.
You have to sort that out.
Yeah. I did tweet this during the week. It was funny. I was doing a lot of on the rogue. I explained how I'm persisting with the herbalism and alchemy, and I'm out of sync with the zones and everything. And I got to the point where because you can actually learn herbalism at lower levels than professions like alchemy, my herbalism was like way ahead of the curve. You know, by the time I got to Northrend, for example, all the herbs in Northrend were already green to me, because you can get higher level herbalism and you know, get it up pretty darn high in BC. So I was running a lot of dungeons on the rogue, and I got to the 50s. I got to the 50s dungeons, Marauden, the later ones are Marauden and the Dymal, and I kept getting into dungeons that were half done. Like, what's going on? Why am I like? And I didn't mind too much, because you know, you get through the dungeon quicker, and I didn't really need the gear, and you get the goodie bag, and you get all the XP from it. So I mean, it wasn't too stressed, but it was odd that like all of a sudden I kept getting into dungeons that are half complete. I don't understand. This is really weird. And then I was in a dungeon and I dinged 58 and I could get to Outland, and I went, as soon as people ding 58, they drop group and go back at this. I'm off to hellfire.
Didn't you tweet that you did the same thing?
Yeah, that's what I tweeted. Yeah, it was a mystery, and then the penny dropped.
It's probably the same with all those dungeons at that cusp.
Yeah.
Between
get to 68. Bye. Yes, exactly. So yeah, I've been leveling it like a demon this week and thoroughly enjoying it.
So I've been calling you two cloaks a share.
Mm.
I'm thinking I'm going to start calling you never a lull a share.
Oh, no lulls.
Never lulls.
Man. Never lulls.
Never rests. You're in there. You're Blizzard's perfect customer, I think.
I am, really. I think I really am.
You've never ever dropped your subscription, have
you? Oh, no.
Never.
Never.
But the thing of your, I mean, there's a long chunks of time that I would never drop mine, but I wasn't playing, which is completely, this is like,
oh, no, dude, I get my money's worth. Trust me. I get my money's worth.
Then some. I think you're getting my money's worth. That's great. Yeah. It's nice to hear that, because I am hearing through the different podcasts a lot of lull.
This is a great part of an expansion. You know, stress so much about raiding, you just do a bit of raiding, like, you know, a raid twice a week, only once this week. And, you know, it's casual raiding, a bit of progress, a bit of fun. You get out and you level some more alts. You wander off and you do projects like our Warlocks project and the That's Not a Knife project.
Yeah, just play the game.
Play the game, mate. It's lovely.
It's a damn fine attitude to have.
Mm. Well, that's it. And sorry to say, I'm looking at the clock. Well, it's not actually a clock. It's the ticker tape on Audacity that says we've gone over an hour. You promised me we weren't going to go over an hour.
I didn't promise anything.
No, you didn't.
I never promise.
So this is going to be a short show.
You won't stop talking. It's not my fault.
Sorry. That's it. We're going to roll on out of here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave you with this. And I know you said from the top of the show you thought I was going to go out with 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost was. And then I remembered this little ditty. Hey, 19, that's Aretha Franklin. She don't remember the Queen of Soul. It's hard times befallen the sole survivors. She thinks I'm crazy, but I'm just growing old.
Okay, I'm just going to say goodbye, because I'm blown away as usual by your endings. Bye.
Thanks for listening to WoW Geekly. To contact us, email wowgeekly@gmail.com or send us a tweet at wowgeekly. Or abuse the host directly on at Asheo and at Elgin. And of course, we'd love it if you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and love you even more if you leave a review. Upload complete. Wow Geekly, which is what you're listening to with... I hate that. I'm going to start again. That was shit.
I was thinking that, to be honest, halfway through.
Yeah.
He's gone.
I've lost it.
Pull up! Pull up!